Oh, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. Talking about what corruption or pollution is from a spiritual standpoint. Remember, we talked yesterday about how there's two words in Greek and a whole bunch in Hebrew, but they all mean that this idea that you cannot have anything that denigrates with time, or anything that shrivels, or anything that erodes, or anything that. And so in time and space, the closest, most valuable things we have are diamonds and gold. Because they fundamentally they don't, you know, over the time that we are can be even seen or see, they don't corrupt. And so even in the world system, that which doesn't corrupt or become corrupted or become polluted is the most precious, the most valuable. But if we took the blinders off our eyes, we'd see over the longer term that even diamonds and gold corrupt because they are of dust. And so all of the scriptures about the resurrection are about that which is not corruptible. And so the idea that the rebuilding of Israel, or the rebuilding of the temple and reinstituting sacrifices and all that, they can't study the Pauline doctrine and come to that conclusion, because everything is about, from the New Testament standpoint, everything is about resurrection. And so, in verse 40, or let's go up to 35. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, or thou madman, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance be of wheat, or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. For all flesh is not the same flesh. There's one for men, of fish, etc., birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's the glory of the sun, and the glory of the moon, and the glory of the stars. One star different from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit, or a life-giving spirit. So the whole idea of this is that, we'll go down to verse 50 real quick. So I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. And so even the scriptures are clear, but even the idea that this whole left behind and Omega codes and Da Vinci codes and all these alleged codes are just goofy. because they forget that something can't have, I mean, it can't be sown in it can't be risen in corruption. There can't be anything risen that denigrates with time. Now, they even done it with the prophecy in Isaiah of the whole idea of the new creation being born in one day. So let's go to Isaiah 66. And the reason I want you to see this is to see your mind can't even think about these things at the ultimate end of it. And if all that is corruption, then what is the crap that your mind is thinking of? What?
I just got hit on the head with something here where I've always had this weird thing about you die, your body gets put in the ground, or you get burned up, cremated, whatever. It always bothers me what the deal is. And,
what has bothered you? What deal?
Well, what happens to your body? I mean, it's just kind of disrespectful, you know, throw it in the ground. I don't know. There's just something about the whole burial process, and, you know, what you do with this old body once you're done with it, and the resurrection and being raised again from the dead, or whatever it's about. It's a little hard to talk because I don't fully understand what I'm even saying. But the idea of the fact that you take a seed and you put it in the ground, a big seed doesn't come out. You know, something completely different comes out. And that's what hit me here and blew my whole problem away. It's a new thing that doesn't even resemble what went into the ground.
That's true. Remember how many times I've talked about our pecan tree in the backyard?
Yeah. You might have had this thought yourself.
Isaiah 66. Thus saith the Lord. Everybody there? Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build for me? Where do you think is my place of rest? I mean, in other words, this is satire. For all these things hath mine own hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look. Even not the one, in other words, not the one that's building the grandiose buildings or the, you know, anything. We can build the, you know, 15 Taj Mahals or 23 temples, and it's meaningless. Or you can, you know, that's why I love this the champions idea, that we're champions for Christ. God wants us to be champions. Where in the hell did that come from? You know, as I wrote, or in the last word, I mean, Shannon is 10 billion times more important than all the champions to the kingdom of God than all the champions that have ever existed. I mean, never mind, I won't get on that. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor. And the word poor there is empty. And of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. And then he addresses the sacrificial system, which was all a type to reveal the mystery of Christ, but that now it's gone. And he was predicting it's gone here. He that killeth an ox, and that was for the highest offering, for the burnt offering. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb, as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth any oblation is as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Now, take those and maybe there's obviously hasn't been a temple, there hasn't been a sacrificial system in the temple, you know, for 2,000 years. But take those things of what you do internally, you know, i.e. that you are the temple of the living God, God isn't kidding here. Oh, I'm just thinking about God. No, you're burning incense, and it's as if you offered or if you blessed an idol. Can you understand? Oh, I'm just really, really thinking up something good that I can do for God. It's as if you put a pig on the altar. Can you get it?
Of what I just said, I can feel that concept or thought that's been ingrained in me is what prevents me from being at rest, because even though I will say something different because I intellectually understand something, I'm standing in God's way because I'm trying to help Him reconfigure the seed that fell into the ground and come. I want to come out in my own image somehow. I mean, that's what I do.
It's the same thing Judas did.
Yeah, I'm the betrayer. My soul delighteth in my way because I think I'm doing something, you know,
right. And it's right. And that's why we've been so... But it's you know, you're not the only one. You're the only one that has enough balls to say it.
You're like that pecan with the hard shell.
I agree completely with my brother Gary.
Yea, they have chosen, he that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their own abominations. They don't think it's an abomination, they think it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so wonderful. And so I will choose their delusions, and I will bring their fears upon them. And that's why I've said so often about the Holy Spirit becomes your enemy. I mean, I won't go into, I'm not going to go off on a tangent. Shut up, John. Just shut up. You're getting too much like Joyce Anna, or vice versa. Next thing you know, I'll be deathly afraid of John.
That just doesn't ring true, does it?
Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. I will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they all did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. Now, in other places, everybody says, "Oh, I'm answering the call. My calling, God's called me to." That, you know, that's fine. God's not going to wipe him out for being that goofy, but. The call of God isn't our business, because none did answer, including you and I. So now he knew his own right arm has gotten him the victory. There is nothing more that flesh can do. You can't think up something. You don't look for the will of God. You be the will of God. How do you be? You die. And any time I'm just concerned about this. Here, it's offering swine's blood. Anyway, that's all right. Ignore the cat. Ignore the pussy.
I have to edit that out.
Okay, now Bojo has just took on Betty's... And I called him Bojo on purpose. He's sitting there where they're going. What?
You're the only one with balls.
He never.
Just get all the dirty parts out.
I must have been all that weightlifting this morning. Don't lift your testosterone.
Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, Let the Lord be glorified. But he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of those from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Now before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Now that has nothing to do with in 1948, the United Nations declaring that Israel was a state. It has to do with the day of Pentecost. That in one day, in one instant, in one boom, a new people was created. Because this other group, including the whole human race, had failed. Until this and everything about the human race, everything about your grandiose ideas and your wanting to do right for the Lord and all the other crap. So now your only job is to abandon yourself. Let yourself be way back, dead in a walk away from the grave, never again. That's what you testified to when you were baptized.
Like earlier where it said, let the Lord be glorified, that's what everybody's...
Oh yeah, we're just glorifying the Lord. Yeah.
It's like, that's pretty amazing to say that to all the... I mean, sing that to all the people. It's probably part of the liturgy, you know.
Awesome.
When you come and you're doing the stuff, but you're not really big.
And then, now here's what I want you to hear, and I want you to hear it with everything in you. It's based on the whole thing I talked about Sunday night. I mean, this is what I talked about Sunday night was what it was based on. Shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? In other words, you don't have anything to worry about. Just get the hell out of the way. And then now it's going to get even better. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem. Not the punk of rock over there, but with the new Jerusalem. The Jerusalem that's the mother of us all. The true heavenly Matrona. And you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, I'm over here and we're praying that Jerusalem over there in that little place in that stupid little country, excuse me, that little country will, because that, if we have to support them because, and if they give away any of the land, then God's going to kill their prime minister and, I mean, come on. That's worse than comic book theology. Well, they're idiots. How about that? And I don't think they really believe it. You can't believe this stuff deep inside you. You can mouth the words, just like memorizing Bible verses. And you have to get a lot of converts to believe the same thing because I must be right because look at all these people that are following me. This is I get crazy about this stuff. Rejoice with ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all you that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you that mourn for her, that you may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations, that you may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream, Then shall you suck, and you shall be born upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees. That whole psalm about how beautiful on the sides of the north and all that's the same imagery that we can't go anywhere where we're not in the protection of the New Jerusalem, because it is our surrounding reality. What do you
praying for the peace of Jerusalem is that there be no against us.
Praying that you you would experience the same peace that is the fullness of Jerusalem.
Yeah,
may be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall you suck, and shall be born upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when you see this, when you, not when you do anything, when you see, and what you see is what you hear, if your ears are circumcised. Now, what does it mean to have your ears circumcised? That you've seen the emptiness and futility and corruption of all else. And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation towards his enemies. We are not come unto the mount that might be touched, because we are come unto the new, the heavenly. And all these idiots out searching for the Ark of the Covenant. Well, it's not going to be found. I know where it is. It's not in time and space anymore, because it's in the Jerusalem that came down as a bride adorned for her husband on the day of Pentecost that John saw and John described. There's nothing left in this. The best there is in this world is less than nothing. The best that your mind can come up with is the dust that's left after the weighing appearance. Hear this. See the finger of God written on your temple wall. Mene, mene, tekelu pharsin. You have been weighed in the balance and found eternally lacking. Let this Jazaniah that your mind be gone forever. You don't owe him anything. He's an idiot. I'm sorry. I get a little... Well, this is what I think about that, Holy. No, I just... Well, I don't know what happened. Anybody have any response? Anybody see anything?
There's peace. There's two words for peace in English. P-I-E-C-E. And P-E-A-C-E. Is that right?
Both of them have a C and an E at the end.
Yes. And if you pray for a peace of Jerusalem, that's like literalizing the parable in just one little chunk of dust. But the peace, P-E-A-C-E is...
No. Peace. You forgot P-E-E-S.
That's not a real word.
Peas?
Oh, yeah.
Pay for the peas of Jerusalem? Never mind, that was just... That sounded like something that Ronnie would say. What? Is that fair?
Yeah. I understand. That's stupid to say, but that's really beautiful stuff. Really.
Yeah. Man. Then your heart, when you see, then your heart shall be enlarged.
I have this thing about praying for Shannon. I don't know what it is. I almost can't even do it. It's like when David, you know, he put on the sackcloth and he fasted. And he, you know, I mean, I want to do that, but I don't have it in me to do that. It's like that's...
Just don't worry about it. Don't.
I mean, that's like...
Let others pray for us.
That word doesn't seem rebellious to me.
No, that's why others are praying for you. You don't have to worry about it. Just be you.
Well, I mean, my point is, like, I can't even really... I mean, I pray that she would be well and she would come out of there. But, like, that's his business. I really can't even pray that. My only prayer really is that she'd have peace. You know, that she really don't even know what the doctors are doing. She just totally at peace.
Amen.
Praying for her, I'm praying for you all too.
So. Anybody else?
When you were talking about the Ark of the Covenant and people searching for it and all that, it just doesn't do you any good if you found it. Because it's just an object in time.
It was a parable.
Yeah, it's a parable. It's like the movie you're talking about where the Indiana Jones thing, you know, they found it and it killed them. It's the wrong journey to go on that. Some of the people who email questions to us are on that journey. They're taking this and trying to make something out of the words rather than let the words be what who he is.
You search in John 5, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you find principles of eternal life, but they are they that testify only of me, and you won't come unto me. Mr. Bojo? You still shaking your head, or yours? You just did. I caught you. All righty, take a big guy.